Sports Day for Kia. The all-new redesigned Kia Sportage medium SUV has been unleashed. And Lumo SA, Aussie-owned, made for Adelaide.
And a very good evening, Malcolm Blight and David Wilde. All thanks to Keno. You can play Keno from only $1 a game. Remember, gamble responsibly. There's a draw every few minutes. Always time for Spot a Keno. Play today. Gamble responsibly. The man of the moment, well, the second man of the moment, Jason Horne-France is man of the moment, but the man that presented his jumper last night is right here in the studio, Malcolm Jack Blight. Blighty, how are you?
Hello, David. Yes.
Good night. Yeah.
Well, it was
a couple of hiccups.
Yeah, a couple of hiccups. Look, we'll talk to Jason, who we're going to get on a bit later on, number one draft pick now, going to North Melbourne. But, yeah, in the room, it was quite a small room and obviously a convivial atmosphere, quite buzzing.
So he was there with his family?
Yes, he was, and all his teammates. You know, there's a lot of mates there with him. And, yeah, at the appropriate time of it was announced, you couldn't hear it in the room. The sound went dead.
Oh, no.
Oh, so there was
Did you have vision or was there any vision?
Yeah, you could see it, but you just didn't know what was going on. So the time it took to react to it was quite a bit different. But I think his manager, as you know, I think he put...
Ben
showed a text or did something.
He would have known he was going number one, though, when they would have told him prior.
Yes, he did.
So he just didn't have the razzmatazz.
But the thing that was interesting to me, now I was there with the media guy, Mick, from North Melbourne, who's a nice young fella, he just said there's going to be a bit of a gap here. There's going to be a 3 and 4 minute gap because they're going to do a trade first. And so when you went to that number one, waiting for him to be announced, as the number one pick, there was this 3 or 4 minute where North Melbourne phoned and did all that. Now, if to the untrained,
what's going on?
And, you know, I listened to the commentary later. I had a look at it later. And, you know, sure, no one actually knew that they were going to trade. North knew they were going to trade, you know, just something for a bit later. But I would make a rule now, right? This would be now. If I'm now Gill, I'm going to say, don't anyone ever do that again. The top 10 players get announced and get on with it.
Yeah.
Do your trade. You can have a spell at the end of it. I hope they change that. It's over. Overplayed to something like that, and it's all about the people. I don't know. It's almost like I'll swap you 3 chickens for 3 ducks.
Yeah.
You know, and it really annoys me. It's overplayed to buggery, and I
particularly
just
that time.
I mean, Gill, if you're listening, don't do it again.
It's unbelievable. When you we've got him on in about 10-15 minutes. When you're standing next to him, good size.
Yeah, nice size. Yeah,
About the 6 foot, just a fraction taller than you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And good build.
Yeah, nice build. Yeah, he's going to get bigger, obviously, as he gets more into weights and more into training. But, yeah, he's a nice size. He's got pace. Everyone knows he's a competitive beast. I was very fortunate. I walked in with him, actually, and because there were cameras everywhere. But I walked in with Fabian Francis, his stepfather, who had actually played at Port and had been through this 100-game player in the AFL. So, you know, I remember Fabian from his days at Port Adelaide, of course, when I was coaching the Crows. Yeah, he was a good player. So it was good to talk to him and just his growth and journey through the junior grades, which actually Fabian coached him as a youngster and then moved through the South Adelaide system. So, yeah, he's very well prepared, David.
And South have done well. They're hoping to get a couple more, Matthew Roberts and Arlo Draper tonight, which will kick off shortly.
Yeah, I spoke to Jared Wright, their coach. He was there last night. And also had a mental blank. There was lots of other people there, of course. But, yeah, Jared was there with South Adelaide, so that was great.
Yeah, no, very good night and a very worthy pick. So he'll be playing round one, no doubt about that. The Crows did really well too, and I'm really pleased for them. Both the Crows and Port Adelaide got them in.
Yeah.
That was quite – we heard both Josh Rochelle and also Josh Sinn. Let's hear Josh Rochelle. He's just so happy to go to the Crows, and here he is, what it felt like to be picked up by Adelaide.
It was pure excitement. Felt so surreal. It's a day I've been waiting for my whole entire life, and for it to actually happen today is a dream come true.
Be playing Adelaide Oval in front of hopefully 50,000+ fans, showdowns, how does that feel?
It feels amazing. Just watching that on TV the last few years, just the noise from Adelaide Oval, you can hear from the crowd, and I can't imagine what it'd feel being on there on game day.
Isn't it great hearing him so happy to go anywhere? We heard him before the draft. He said, oh, I can't wait to go to Adelaide. apparently a small, explosive forward, take a good mark, good kick. That's exactly what they need. And the other one is Josh Sinn. Now, I heard him, Robbie, interviewing him before. Just sound terrific bloke, absolute terrific guys. They're well cued or schooled the way they speak these days. He too, absolutely, you know, ecstatic on being drafted at Port Adelaide?
Yeah, actually, they both look all right, don't they? Certainly that small. We mentioned it a couple of nights ago that it's going to be interesting to see how the Crows forward line functions with this new lad coming in. I mean, he's going to have to be very good to break into the team start. We know that. But, you know, they've got three or four guys there, haven't we? We've talked about them before.
They've got a few small forwards. They've got Murphy, they've got Jimmy Rowe.
Yeah.
They've got McHenry.
Yeah.
A peddler's got to come somewhere in. And Rochelle.
Yeah, and I know we look at Miller
Miller, but I think you play more half-back.
Well, they all can't play half-back, though.
No, they can't. Well, you played them all at half-back at one particular time. Let's hear from Josh Sinn on being drafted to Port Adelaide.
Yeah, so I had like a slight inkling before that Port were pretty keen to pick me up. So when I found out that they traded up just to, I guess, try and get ahead of Essendon to pick me, I was... I was pretty stoked because I guess I was pretty fixated on heading over the pair.
Good lad.
By the way, I just want to mention too, Brett Hand was there, the coach of Glenelg last night, with Nasiah Wanganeen. He went to pick 11 to St Kilda, so I was talking to him for a while too. So it's good to see that it
was almost apart. I reckon there was two that maybe weren't thought of, but almost in order, the first few thought it went exactly as we thought it would. Then there's a couple of wild cards, weren't there?
Yeah, there usually is, yeah.
The Central District boy.
Yeah.
Lee Kalea.
I suppose there always is, you know, someone rates them differently, but the Victorian boys have been a bit hardly done by. They haven't played anywhere amount of football as the others. But we've got Troy on the line. Hi, good evening, Troy. How are you?
How you going, boys? Hey, Malcolm. I'll pump your tyres up even a bit more. They couldn't do without you last night, mate. We couldn't hear them for 10 minutes. How good's that? Hey?
Yeah. You're talking about David and Ken at Ken Cunningham on the show. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The wheels just fell off, mate. They just went downhill from there.
You know, and Troy, that was our best opening we'd done for years too. It was so frustrating when we got told we weren't on.
Yeah. It's a bit like when you kick the best goal at training and...
no one sees it.
No, that's right. Hey, Malcolm, I might be spoiling your interview you're having with young Jason Horne-Francis. You can tell me if I am or not, but I only heard last night that why he went to Francis, like the hybrid name, was because Fabian Francis was a big influence on his life and his career. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Actually, if you just missed the opening, I mentioned that. I had quite a conversation with Fabian. Walking in, first of all, and then secondly, while we were waiting for it, seemed to take forever things to happen. But so I had a lovely conversation with Fabian. I mean, I coached against him when he played at Port Adelaide, of course, 100 game player. But yeah, he did coach him through the junior grades. I'm not sure of the exact dates, something, you know, from 8 to 15, 8 to 12, or something like that. So yeah, Fabian had a fair bit to do with him, of course. When he turned 18, Jason added.
The name
Francis.
Jason Horne-Francis.
Yeah, Francis, yeah. So, he obviously got a lot of respect for what Fabian did.
Didn't realise he works one of 5AA sponsors too in Fluoro Milk.
Yeah.
Down there with Tony Modra doing a bit of work. Yeah. So, well done there. Hey, the Redbacks, disappointing today except for Travis Head. Now, you've always been a big G for, you've got to earn your spot.
Yep.
A lot of pressure with him in Khawaja. They enforced a follow on. And once again, South Australia collapsed. Alex Carey missed out again. So I think you could probably rule out Alex for the first test. But Travis Head, 101, caught behind by Jimmy Pearson off the spinner. So 101 out of a fairly small total. You think he's done enough? That's all he can do, runs on the board?
Well, I said there were two chances. This one, this Shield match. Now, he's got a second bat. Khawaja hasn't had a second bat
yet.
On Saturday with the maybes and the could-bes. So he's in front now. And the selectors can't be wrong, David. They've got the bloke that's just made 100 or a bloke that's made 4.
So you pick him, he deserves to be picked, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. If they're the two that are in the fight, right now Travis is in front in that fight.
Yeah, disappointing. I just hope, Alex, they don't jump him. We've seen that before. Keepers get a leapfrog. Now, he's been in the wings for perhaps 4 or 5 years. Alex Carey's been touted. He's 30. Yeah. But just when he needed to make runs, only need to get, you know, make 50 or 100, and your name's up in lights. But all now they're talking about is, we had Laurie Colliver on last night. He's had 5 or 6, you know, scores under 10 in a row.
Yeah. Talking about that, now apparently Pat Cummings and Steve Smith have fronted an interview.
Yeah,
let's just say it's a captain, vice-captain interview committee. and there's five or six people on it, and everyone knows who they are probably, but isn't that an interesting way to do it? Normally, I would think that that would come. It's so obvious. It's almost been so obvious, the Australian captain, who it should be.
Yeah.
It's always been nearly always our best batsman.
Well, I'd make it Steve Smith, but it looks like it's going to be Paddy Cummins.
Yeah.
Smith, but Smith will be the deputy. I'll tell you what, the support coming in for Tim Payne, heard Nathan Lyon, Marcus Harris, all the players, Paddy Cummins, all come in really hard. They want Tim Payne to play. I think he will play now. In Tuesday's True or False, I thought he won't. I said he won't play. But if Alex Carey's not making runs, unless they go to, which I don't think they will, to the Josh Inglis from Perth.
I think, yeah, you're quite right. Josh Inglis is now in front of Alex Carey, which is a bit sad. As you mentioned, mate, if you made some runs, you know, just make a 50 or a 80 or something. But he's made none.
No, the Redbacks worrying out. We were buoyed by Dizzy Gillespie. They've got a couple of good players in. McAndrew. Carter's just failed the last couple himself. McAndrew's been quite a good player. I just felt maybe it was turning around, but it's the same old at the moment.
Sometimes it takes time. You know, and it sounds funny. You've got a bat in your hand. You're the only one in charge of the game, aren't you? You know, it's not like the team game that we know in the AFL and soccer and a lot of other sports. It's the bloke with the ball and the bloke with the bat, isn't it? And sometimes the twain don't meet. Now, that'll come. I think what Jason Gillespie is going to have to do now is just persevere with this group, you know, and just say, okay, it's not quite falling our way now, but let's look at 2 years program rather than a year program, David. Do you think that?
Yeah, I agree. And I was also look at how many of those guys could possibly play for Australia. Now, you'd have to say, obviously, Travis Head.
Yep.
Henry Hunt's been making some good runs.
Yeah, not this time.
He got 30-odd in the second dig. And Alex Carey at his best.
Yep.
So there's probably only three, you think, that are pushing?
At the moment.
Yeah, I think you need a couple more. Look at New South Wales side at full strength, they're all playing.
Yeah, let's go back to that, though. I mean, there is a population thing here. And when we talk about, I remember John from Port Augusta talks about it all the time. The population's got a fair bit to do with it. I mean, New South Wales with that many people, you know, I mean, the competition's probably a bit tougher.
Mm.
Not so much for the superstars.
Chappell's game from South.
But as you come down the list, you know, they're pretty handy players. So South Australia's injected some other players from other states, which I think's great for the Shield team eventually.
What's the population of WA? Because they always produce some really good cricketers too.
Yeah, a fraction more than us, 2.5 million, something like that. Yeah, 2 million.
But Sydney's got, what, eight?
Six, seven, eight.
Six or seven in Melbourne.
Yeah, I remember my son telling me this. If you put Melbourne and Sydney into the USA, they would be the fifth and sixth
biggest
most states.
Or
six or seven, something
it's
like
incredible.
That. It is incredible when you think about it.
In the Western world, they're two of the biggest going around. Unbelievable. Okay, we're going to take a break, and the number one draft pick not far away, we'll speak with him, Jason Horne. Francis will join us.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new redesigned Kia Sportage medium SUV has been unleashed. And Lumo SA, Aussie-owned, made for Adelaide. Sports Day for Kia. The all-new redesigned Kia Sportage medium SUV has been unleashed. And Lumo SA, Aussie-owned, made for Adelaide.
Hey, welcome back to Sports Day SA. David Wildy and also Malcolm Blight for Tyre Power. Big holiday sale is on now. Get a $100 digital Visa card with four Vitara tyres exclusive to Tyre Power. Well, Malcolm, you were there last night, and there was no real secret. If it was, it was the worst kept secret in town, that Jason Horne Francis was going number one. He's going to North Melbourne. Had a terrific year with South Adelaide.
Yeah, he did.
I wonder how many interviews and phone calls and that he's had today. Jason, how are you? Congratulations.
Not too bad. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Has the phone been ringing hot? How many interviews you done today?
Yeah, it's been a bit hot today. I've had probably four or five today, and then had a couple last night as well. Yeah,
Jason, I was just speaking to Blighty. 6 years ago, you're only 12 years old, which is, you know, really hard to fathom. But in 6 years, you've covered so much ground. You're hottest prospect in town. Take us back to when you were 12. Who did you barrack for, and who was perhaps your favourite player back then?
Yeah, so back when I was 12, I was playing down at Christie's and playing down there. My dad was probably coaching us down there, which was we had a good side there, and we were doing well. Back in the day, I was a bit of a bandwagon. I kind of jumped on whoever won the premiership back in the day. So I was probably on that at that time. So it was probably Hawthorn in them days because they were doing well. But yeah, and then yeah, obviously the next year I went to South and pursued my career there.
Did you like a player like Dangerfield or any of the top liners? You watch them play?
I didn't watch them too much back in the day. I think yeah, it would probably be around 2015 where I started actually. Dad started telling me to watch players and see what they do on the field. So yeah, it's probably when I started watching players.
Well, first off, Jason, it was a pleasure actually to give you the jumper last night on behalf of the North Melbourne Football Club. I couldn't believe it. One of the first things that came across my phone this morning was a picture of you asleep lying in bed with a jumper on it. I think it's gone worldwide, mate. At your age too, I probably slept with a footy, but that was interesting. How did that all unfold?
I just had it on all night, and then got home and I just didn't really feel like taking it off, so I just kept it on all night and, eventually fell asleep and, kept it on all night, so, yeah.
Just going back a bit, did you play any other sports at school when you grew up?
I remember back in the day, I played one season of basketball. Well, it wasn't very serious. And then, I guess, a couple years back, I played a bit of cricket. I played a season of cricket, which was all right. I used to play backyard cricket with one of my mates, and he kind of just got me into it. So, went out for a season of cricket, but then, we just thought that, we had to focus on footy.
Now, I mean, everyone's watched you play now. I mean, it's been a lovely young career so far. Now, the skills, I mean, you've got both sides on your body, which I love, left and right foot. You can jump in the air. You're not frightened to do that as well. But so how did that all unfold? You don't grow up, and I used to say, you don't come out the womb kicking a footy. So at some stage or other, someone's got shown you how to hold the ball, how to do it, and do it. Who's mainly responsible for your wonderful skills?
I think, we'd have to thank Dad for that one. He has been, tremendous. And I think, one of his interviews, he said, you want to play at the next level, you're going to have to learn how to kick on both sides and use both sides of the body. So, we knuckled down on that probably, when he started coaching me, which was probably under 10s, under 12s. When he started coaching me, that's when we started knuckling down on, getting both sides of the body, using both sides of the body. So, that was probably, when we started. And, I guess from a young age, I just, always had a footy in my hand. And I think Mum introduced me to my first footy, which is the Melbourne Demons footy, because she's a Melbourne supporter. ever since, I've just always wanted a footy in my hand.
Actually, I was talking to Fabian last night. I mean, I coached against him when he played at Port Adelaide. He's a 100-game player, as you're well aware, and he was actually quite skillful as well. But just when he started, I was asking him questions about you before it all got unfolded as you were sitting down with all your mates. And I just, you could just see when he started talking about you, his eyes just lit up. I mean, his enthusiasm for you and your work rate. I mean, he knows about the skill, but he was really impressed with your desire to actually do it. You've inherited something, mate. Where do you reckon that came from?
I think that just came from, I guess, the love of the game and just wanting, I guess, in my nature, just wanting to be the best I can be and, I guess, play at the highest level and, just be the best I can. I think, that's probably where that came from. But, I can't thank that enough for, the work he's put into me. And, he's a special dad for me and, we can't thank him enough.
Yeah, every kid dreams about playing AFL. Not many get to play it when you look at the numbers. When did you really think, hey, I'm a massive chance of making AFL side? Because you have to have a certain degree of self-confidence when you're playing. You've got that. You can see that. You can back your own ability. But was it 2 or 3 years ago you think, hey, I'm going to play AFL. That's my dream. That's my goal. And I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I think for me, it might sound a bit weird, but from a really young age, that's all I wanted to be, I guess, and was an AFL player. And I just knuckled down and, made sure I did as much as I could to make my dream come true. So, from a young age. But I think, would have been probably 2 or 3 years ago where, we really started, working really hard because we thought that I really had a real good chance of getting drafted. So,
Jared Wright must be doing the right things for you guys too. But hopefully Matthew Roberts, Arlo Draper get picked up soon in the next hour or so. So wouldn't that be a coup if you get 3 or 4 South Adelaide players in the one draft?
Yeah,
for sure. That would be really special and it would be an awesome achievement for them boys. I can't speak, highly enough of them. They've put in the work and I'm really proud of where they're at the moment with their footy.
How did it all unfold for you, Jason? The first phone call. okay, North Melbourne have got first pick. You've come up. Who rang you first to say, which club rang you first, and when did North Melbourne ring you? Two questions.
Yeah, I had Collingwood were my first club that called me and asked for an interview. And I think that would have been for most boys as well. I think Collingwood were their first one. And yeah, they were a little bit tough for the first one, but it was good to get them out of the way. But then, yeah, I had North Melbourne contact me really late in the year, actually. They contacted me while I was at work one day and, just said about all the media, and there's been a lot of media about me and them not talking to me, and they just wanted to let me play footy and, let me do my thing in finals. So that's why they didn't contact me earlier. But, yeah, then they contacted me and, wanted me to have a chat to him. So that was good.
It had much to do with David Noble. He's not only a coach, he's a teacher, he's a father figure too. David's, we've known him for a long while. So you go there, I don't think you get a better person actually to settle into AFL footy. How much contact you have with David?
Yeah, me and those, we've been calling a bit lately. He's been checking up on me, seeing how I am. And I think I'm really excited to be coached under him. I think, he's a really good coach. And, from what I've heard and what I've spoken to him, he seems like a really, player's person. Which I really love.
A lot of kids don't get to play against the men. Look at the under-18s, and in fact, a lot of the Melbourne boys hardly played any football. You've played now for a season and a half in the league footy. You feel that's really held you in good stead?
Yeah, for sure. That's been tremendous for me to have two years of league footy under my belt. I just think it helps me with my development, developing a bit faster and against, bigger bodies where you're going to go into the AFL, and that's kind of what you're going to be versing as well. So we obviously know it's going to be another step up from Sandford to AFL, but I think we're very, very well prepared and ready for it.
Have you had anything to do with Jack Zeebel yet, the captain of the North Melbourne? Has he given you a call or text or something along those lines?
Yeah, the North media actually organised for him to FaceTime me last night, so I had a FaceTime call with him last night, and it was a pretty good chat with him.
You do so much right watching you play, but if you had to improve one thing, what's one thing you would like to do better? If there's probably a lot of things you'd like to do better, but is there any one thing you'd really like to improve on?
I think, just continuing on from what me and Buff were improving on this season was just the inside 50 entries, being that, link-up player and being damaging going inside 50. I think, that could definitely, I could take that to another level, definitely.
Jason, the sound went off at the wrong time last night at the Cathedral Hotel. It was actually, we didn't quite know what was going on there for a while, did we? But I'll tell you what, when it was finally announced and Ben showed you that it was official, geez, your mates were noisy, mate. How's the scream from all the mates you had there?
Yeah, they were. It was pretty special to have, great support network I had around me. And, it was awesome to have my mates there to celebrate that moment with me, which was, really special and something, I will cherish for a long time.
And to keep your mind on the job, is it right you've been doing a bit of work at Fleurieu Milk?
Yeah, so I've been doing, probably a year's work down there, and, that's been keeping me busy and, giving me a bit of money under my belt. But, I decided to stop working there on the 5th of November. So, give myself about a month to just, see family and friends and, before I was going to leave,
And you're bumping to Tony Modra there a bit.
Yeah, I see Mods down there a little bit, then Clay and Kim Costa. See him a little bit.
See a couple of good blokes there.
Can we call them?
They're premiership players, though. Yeah. We love them dearly. Yeah. Now, when you're off to Melbourne, there's obviously got to be the big move. When does it all happen?
North want me down there Sunday morning. I'll jump on the plane. I think about 11 o'clock I'll head down there, and I think they'll show me around the place, and we'll get training on Monday.
Yeah, don't stand in front of too many of the pictures on the wall down there, mate. There's some...
Pitches of who, Lonnie?
Good. I'm going to Queensland on Sunday. I might see you at the airport. I'm going the other way. I'm going the warmth. Yeah. You're going the cold, mate.
Who are you staying with, Jace? Are they lined up with a family or a couple of players? What's going on?
I think at the moment we're looking at Callum Coleman Jones to stay with. I'll have to meet him when I get down there Sunday or probably Monday when we go to the club. I'll probably meet him and yeah, I guess just see if he's the right fit for me. So, yeah, he's the player we're looking at the moment.
Mate, it's a great story, and we know you'll do well. Congratulations once again on being number one draft pick. Got another 12, 13 years in front of you, and, yeah, just keep doing what you're doing, and that's good work.
And I'm sure you'll make that number six Guernsey proud, mate. That was good. There's been a couple of good players playing, premiership players playing it, so I'm sure you'll do it well.
Thanks so much, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Jason Horne, Francis here. Wow. World at his feet. And some saying, Malcolm, the best kid in the draft ever to come out of South Australia. Adam Cooney was number one draft pick from West Adelaide. We're at a couple. Phil Thorpe was number two, effectively one but two last year.
Yeah.
But they say to me, when I watched him play, I do see a bit of a young Nathan Buckley. Everyone sees different players, and he's his own kid, but own player. But boy, level-headed, switched on. You were there last night with him.
Yeah.
He wants to get over there. He's going over Sunday.
Yeah.
That doesn't take long, does it?
No. No, he's going to change his life a fair bit. But I think one of the things, just to talk about him a bit more, I mean, there's a lot of good young players, of course, and normally this would have come through at any stage. The good ones get through it. But he loves it in the air. I love the way he jumps at the ball.
Doesn't fumble.
And the left foot, right foot. I mean, a couple of things he did in that final. Everyone's still raving about that game. He played in the final for South Adelaide. It was just some extraordinary stuff.
It's hard to believe. He doesn't look that big, but he's actually... what, a centimetre taller than you?
Yeah.
So you're just trying to think of a young Malcolm Blight at 18. You were quite skinny.
I was, yeah.
But you know, I always felt you were taller than you were, like to be a full forward and a ruck rover. You're a Collingwood six-footer.
Yeah, 182, centimetre.
North Melbourne six-footer.
Yeah, but I think that the thing is, if you can jump a bit, you know, if you've got a bit of a natural spring or you work on it, once again, I'll tell you now, no one comes out the room jumping. You've got to learn to do it. It's an acquired art, and to jump. And he's got it, they call it natural. It's not natural. You just want to do it.
Was Arnold Bright as number six?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the sixes at...
Ian Fairley.
Ian Fairley?
So premiership players, Arnold Bright and Ian Fairley.
And what about in the Kangaroos' more recent flags in 96 and 99?
No, Ian Fairley.
He wore both, did he?
Yeah. I think in one of them. I'm just trying to think.
They might have played one.
Yeah.
So they've already presented him number six jumper.
Yes, he has, yeah. I meant to ask him too. I think they offered or talked about number 18, say Wayne Carey's number, but he wanted to make his own mark. And good on him.
You don't mind the sixes. 666 is your North Melbourne number.
Yeah, well, it is. I was going to mention that, but I mean, people think that's a bit funny, but it is true. My number, playing number, is 666.
Let's see.
Which was called the...
Devil's number.
Yeah.
You got a bit of that in you. A little bit of that.
On.
Hey, just down the road, important game too for the Strikers. Good last night.
WBBL.
They need to do it again, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Amanda Jane Wellington, 5-for-8. Can you believe that? It's the best ever bowling effort.
I know we've spoken about it, but the batting has come on. It really has come on. They play some beautiful shots. Technique is so important. And I think the fielding's better. But the batting, to me, is the big thing that's, you know, you look at them, they can clear fences now. They couldn't in the early days. I know the ropes in a bit, but they can still hit a big ball.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, and David Wilde, 36 points today at Tea Tree Gully.
Yeah, played today. Started birdie.
Yeah, how about
which
that?
Which is not like me, but...
And not easy.
And you talk about little things. I know you always give me little tips on how to do things. I actually tried a driver with a more flexy shaft. This one I had was really stiff, and that's more for the guys playing off one or two, where they...
Yeah. Yep.
You know, like Bryson DeChambeau, the ones that smash it. So, made a big difference.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it made a difference. I read today, you know, your basketball, you're a bit of a gut basketball lover.
Oh, I know.
Josh Giddey, I think we were talking about it earlier. As a teenager, he's had 100 assists and 100 rebounds in 20 games.
Third fastest?
Well, yeah, there's only two that equaled it, LeBron James and LaMelo Ball in the same elite.
And LaMelo Ball, now he played in Queensland a couple of years ago. He's got a brother that plays Lonzo too over there. He's an unbelievable player. He'll be better than Ben Simmons. Still haven't seen Ben Simmons. Ben sooked it up. He's actually really annoying, Ben Simmons. Like, he's got a contract about $30, $40 million a year and decides he doesn't want to play. Like, doesn't want to play it with the 76ers, Philadelphia.
Yeah, I don't quite understand all that. I mean, wouldn't you just fulfil it, and then because that's what you agree to? Anyhow, just going back, there's an announcement today. The Rugby Union World Cup is going to be back in Australia in 2027, David. It'll be the third time, and the last one was in 2003. 2003. So that's a fairly big announcement for the game, Rugby Union,
it's funny,
to come here.
The only time I ever watch that is World Cup.
Yeah.
And I loved it. It's funny when you're barracking for your country.
It's more the AFL game. You can see how our game was a hybrid of both Gaelic football and probably rugby union.
Yeah, rugby league, bit of all of them, but more union.
More union, definitely.
Yeah,
they
jump up.
They do all of that.
Yes. Yep. So first time since 2003.
Yep, and the Crows, 1-4 players. I see are back training, and Tex Walker and a few of the older blokes were there, so that's good too.
Yeah, good to see Taylor Walker. So looking forward to that. Just repeating, they got Josh Rochelle at number four, and Josh Sin was picked up by Port Adelaide. And the other drafts are going as we speak, so we'll know more about that tomorrow night. The all-new redesigned Kia Sportage Medium SUV has been unleashed. Terrific car. I've seen it around. You can find out more at kia.com/au. We've got plenty more to come, including Throwback Thursday. Malcolm Blight and David Wilde. This is Sports Day SA.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new redesigned Kia Sportage Medium SUV has been unleashed. And Lumo SA, Aussie-owned, made for Adelaide. Sports Day for Kia.
The all-new redesigned Kia Sportage Medium SUV has been unleashed. And Lumo SA, Aussie-owned, made for Adelaide.
Sports Day SA, Malcolm Blight and David Wilde, all thanks to Weeks Homes. 30 years have been building with steel. They are now hiring, and we're talking Angle Park Greyhounds, one of my favourite times of the week, certainly coming up to Christmas. You can race into the festive spirit at Angle Park for four nights of Christmas. Visit grsa.com.au. Toddy Gray, how are you?
Yeah, no, I'm very good, mate, at the moment. Early days, but race hasn't been yet, so I've got no reason to be blue.
Okay, so we're looking for it's an early Christmas present. You've got one at odds. We might start with that, the value bet, race 8, number 8, Blue by You.
Exactly. We've been trialing him out a few times lately, especially through this Brian Johnson series, which is the main race tonight. Group 3, $26,000 to the winner, if you don't mind. I reckon he's a good chance of making the podium here. Look, we've been trying him out each way. He's been running the drum every week. Now, he is actually well drawn out, Nate. Even though it can be a sticky draw at Angle Park, the old box 8 over to 5:30, he should relish this. And there's a lot of dogs here, which orders the kind of middle pinners, your second favourites and, 8 or 10 to 1 pops. They've all drawn the guts. And I just think there's going to be a little bit of hustle and bustle here at the early stages. He will stay wide, and he is a 600 and 700 metre dog. He will just keep charging home and charging home and charging home. Look, if you want to back him just for the place, I don't blame you, because I think he has a lot to make the top three. But all I know is at $26 fixed, if he happened to win, I would be absolutely filthy. I would split chips, even though you're still collecting on the place bet. So, yeah, pennies to win, and then go more the place for him, because I reckon he will make the podium. And if there's any argy-bargy, he will be storming home late.
Sounds good to me. Each way, all day, as they say in the classics. And you've got a best bet for us too, Toddy.
I do, boys. Race 4, number 2, Fly for Tricks. This is a dead set match race for mine between him and Jack Swell, which is going sensational. But he is stepping back from the 600-metre trip back to the 5:30. And like the dog we said could do it last week, sometimes they don't always back up when they drop back in distance. It just kind of messes with their routine a bit, even though he is pretty seasoned. But I'm worried he's going to find a little bit of traffic early, especially from the 8 dog, which is going to cut across and give him a little snip. I think Fly for Tricks, look, before he went off for a pretty successful campaign in Victoria, he was one of the best dogs in South Australia, and he's won 4 of his last 5. And last start, he just announced that I am back at my best. He went 30-33 last start, which is only 2 lengths slower than what the Adelaide Cup winner Dewitt went. He's drawn box 2. You can't do more than win, which he's always been doing. And I think he's going to lob in front of Jackswell for mine. If he lobs in front of Jackswell, he'll beat Jackswell. Look, he hasn't really been missed a lot in the market. He's about 220 at the moment. I think that's the right price. I don't think you're getting huge overs there, but I do think he'll win.
Hey, Toddy, you're talking about box 8. Now, box 8's normally a generous box, particularly for wide runners, but it hadn't been early days when they went back to the new Angle Park track. How's it been the last couple of weeks? Are you getting any winners from 8?
There has been a couple of extra winners there and more places than that, so they are starting to boost the old stats. So I'm still once again, I can keep saying it. I'm not sure if it was just an anomaly the first, 6 or 8 weeks they opened up and it's starting to pan out now, or just kind of this the boxes in the track kind of filling their way out. But there has been a few more handy winners from box 8, a few dogs jumping a lot better as well, which is always good to see. I don't think it's as bad as some people might think it is, but for some reason, I still can't figure out what happened in those first little while when the new track went up.
Only about a month away from Christmas. Anything happening at Angle Park? You got the Christmas meeting there?
We don't just have one meeting. We've got four lads. Every Thursday night in December, I recommend anyone who wants to bring the family down, do it. There's going to be what they call Christmas throughout the whole of December. Every Thursday at Angle Park, there's going to be rides for the kids. Obviously, free admission. There's going to be a little padding area for the families that to go up to have a pat of the dog's neck for any trainers who want to bring them up to kind of share the experience with the public and all that. There's going to be food bands and some live music and everything. It's going to be like a little mini Adelaide every Thursday in December. But yeah, honestly, if there is anyone out there who wants to kind of get involved and see what the racing industry is about, or just look for what can be generally a pretty cheap night out, bring the kids down, bring the families down. It's honestly a great night, and you can't do much more. It's going to be great.
Mate, have a great night tonight. And Malcolm's last night with you for a while too, so he'll see you probably back in the new year.
Yeah.
No worries. Thanks very much, everyone. And Malcolm, enjoy your time away. Keep the powder dry. And just enjoy yourself, mate. You're well deserved. And it's been a pleasure for ages. And I'll talk to you when I talk to you.
Good on you, mate.
Toddy Gray, we're going to take a break.
Cheers, boys.
Throwback Thursday on the side for Lumo SA, Aussie owned with energy plants and great local awards made for Adelaide.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new redesigned Kia Sportage medium SUV has been unleashed. And Lumo SA, Aussie owned, made for Adelaide. Sports Day for Kia. The all-new redesigned Kia Sportage medium SUV has been unleashed. And Lumo SA, Aussie owned, made for Adelaide.
Malcolm Blight and David Wilde, shortly throwback first. About how good were the Strikers last night? And they're playing again as we speak tonight. If they win, they go to Perth and play the final.
Yeah, what about Amanda Jade Wellington? The best ever figures in the WBBL, 5-for-8 versus Brisbane Heat. An amazing performance, David, at any level.
I've got to say, I've watched a bit of the WBBL. I think the batting's come on in leaps and bounds.
I agree.
I don't think the bowling's quite as strong as how the bat. Some of the women's the batters are, you could swear they're playing the same shots as men. It looks as, they've got power.
Yeah.
They can clear the boundary now.
In fact, the technique's beautiful.
Technique, that's probably what I'm looking for. Their technique is really, really good. So well done the Strikers, and good luck with the Strikers. And well done to Travis Head again, 101.
Yeah, another
100. So he's put one foot in the door.
Oh, I reckon. And, the selectors can't make the wrong decision now, unless Khawaja does something special. If they pick on form, which is 100, Travis would get. And even if he failed in the test, they're going to have this to fall back on and say, well, look, he made 100. Mm. I mean, he was in good nick. We picked him.
He's had a pretty good start of the year.
Yeah.
Fortunately, Alex Carey, just when he needed to make runs, just can't buy a run.
No, can't buy
it. Anyhow, South Australia, the Redbacks, not in good nick as we speak. In fact, they'll go down outright. Okay, throwback Thursday. What do you got for us?
Well, David, here we go. 25th of November in 1940.
Ooh.
Now, this is
something
this
long
is,
ago.
it's even before me. But
started the World War.
Yeah, I actually played for a club called the Woodville Football Club, of course, and we had a little moniker going around when I started called
Woody Woodpecker.
Woody Woodpeckers. Well, would you believe in 1940 the Woody Woodpecker debuted in the Walter Lance Knock Knock cartoon? And I can remember it was this little thing going knock knock and you do it better. That's it. You do it better than me. Now, also on another one, because it is Christmas is coming up. In 1949, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer appeared first time on the music charts. So we've all heard and grown up with Rudolph
the song Red-Nosed Reindeer. Had a very shiny nose.
It did. Okay. It did. So there are a couple of cartoon ones for the kids out there.
Bit of left field there.
Yeah, bit of left field. And in 1980, the great Imran Khan scored his first ton, 123 versus West Indies at Lahore. So the great Pakistani all-rounder captain and president of India.
Pakistan.
Done it all. Pakistan, sorry. Done it all, hasn't he? What a player. And on the same day that he made that 100, back in 1980, two of the biggest names in boxing in the 80s, Sugar Ray Leonard beat
Hitman Hearns?
No. Roberto Duran.
Wow.
For the welterweight.
They were good, weren't they?
Oh, mate, welterweight titles. They were just thrashing.
That's probably my favourite weight in boxing rather than the big heavyweights.
Yeah.
They're so quick with their hands.
Yeah, they throw a lot more punches.
Yeah, they do.
A lot of people don't like boxing, do they?
Mind you, the cage is even worse.
Yeah.
They get absolutely smashed now.
And here's another one too, just because of it. In 1983, Larry Holmes defeated Marvis Frazier for the heavyweight title. I remember Larry Holmes, of course.
Was he ever beaten?
Yeah, I think he was. Marvis Frazier, like the same spelling as Joe Frazier. Neither can I. And on this day in 1989, a little Tasmanian opener number 3,
David Boone.
Yeah, mate. 200 versus New Zealand, exactly.
Booney.
At the WACA. Remember it clearly. And in 2000, oh, dear me, the 12th Rugby League World Cup just been announced. We're going to have it again, David, here in Australia, as we mentioned earlier. Australia versus New Zealand. Australia won 40-12 to win the 12th Rugby League World Cup in 2000 on this day.
Great stuff, Malcolm Blight. Big night again. You had Jason Horne-Francis. You presented the jumper last night. We spoke with him tonight. He's going to be a wonderful player. Well done to Travis Head. We mentioned 101. He did his part of the bargain. Fortunately, Carey, as we said, can't buy a run. Mate, we'll do it all again tomorrow between 6 and 7. Bye for now.
Bye, David.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new redesigned Kia Sportage medium SUV has been unleashed. And Lumo SA, Aussie-owned, made for Adelaide.